Shall we begin with a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds so we might find the many resurrections in our lives. Amen. I was in my early 30s when I was first diagnosed. I had a bout with kidney stones. Oh, yay! And the ultrasound found some unusually large cysts on my kidneys. And so checking with my family history, I was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease. And then came one of the most epic medical diagnoses of all times. The doctor told me at that point that by the time I was 55, I would be on dialysis. He nailed it exactly right. By the time I was 55, my kidneys had failed and I went on dialysis. There's two kinds of dialysis. The one that you probably are most familiar with is called hemodialysis. And they connect you to a machine and they take out all of your blood, they filter it, and then put it all back in your body. Actually, it's kind of a continuous cycle. They don't do it all at once. The second form is the one that I was on, and it's called peritoneal dialysis. And just kind of quickly, they put 2 liters of fluid in my peritoneal cavity, and it stays there for a while, and then you do an exchange. It comes out, and you put in new fluid. It was a lot harder and more frustrating to me than I really let on at the time. But what it was very restrictive. I had to do that exchange first a couple of times a day. So that meant that I needed to be in an area either close to home or in a place where I could make that exchange in a sterile environment. Later on, I went on to what's called a cycling machine, and I could do that at night, get hooked up, and they would do it at night. But that process took 12 hours. And what was really frustrating is that, you know, day to day, life was different, schedules changed, week to week, it was different, and, you know, you had that emergency that came in that you needed to respond to. So it was really difficult to try to schedule all that stuff and still do what was necessary to be healthy. Well, then came my resurrection, mini-resurrection miracle. It came in the form of Denise Bernthal. Some of you may know her. She grew up in this congregation. Her maiden name is Saunders. We'd never met. We had never talked to each other. But she heard about my situation, and the Lord laid it upon her heart to get tested whether or not she could be a match for a donor. Well, she wasn't the only one. Several people in the congregation elsewhere tried to get tested. But Denise finally was found to be a match. And that was the first time she and I ever really sat down and talked to one another. Well, we went through the process. We went through the donation. And 3.5 years later, I am strong. I'm healthy. I'm back to normal, which I don't know is a good thing or not. But I'm doing great. And that was an amazing miracle. You know, pastors every Easter trying to decide, well, what am I going to preach on? It's the same story, it's the same message, it's an empty tomb, Jesus is risen. Well, I started thinking about that, and I started thinking that all of us have what I call mini resurrections. Going from moments in which your life is restricted or having some sort of limitation to something that happens that gives you, maybe not complete, but a lot better freedom and more restoration to your life. It may come with those wonderful 4 words that a doctor can say to you. You are cancer free. You've gone through the diagnosis, the doctor's visits, the lab test. You've gone through surgery, chemo, radiation. You've gone through all of that, and then doctor declares you're cancer-free. A mini resurrection. Maybe a time in which you face surgery, major surgery, and you've worried about it for weeks on end. And finally, that day comes. You know that this is very important, it's necessary, but it's going to be very difficult. And so you go into surgery. By the way, you've got the easy part because you're asleep. It's the family in the waiting room that's on pins and needles. They're counting the seconds as if they're minutes. And after a long time, the doctor comes in and proclaims, everything went well. There'll be some rehab, but they're going to do well. And so, maybe not restored to full health, that can happen, but certainly you're restored to something that's better than what you had prior, a mini resurrection. Maybe it's a time that you're able to declare, today I'm 10 years sober. You fought that addiction, drugs, alcohol. Your family and friends through all of that process have been hurt. You stole, you did so many bad things because of that addiction. And then you have your mini resurrection. You get to that point and that time in which you realize this is not where I want to be. I want my life to change. And you go through that process and you can say that mini resurrection phrase. I'm 10 years sober. Maybe it comes from a time of retirement. You've put in your hours, you've put in your years, you've worked very, very hard. You've had too many times in which you spent away from your family. Too many trips that have taken a couple of days. And now you've gotten to that point and you can say, I'm retired. And they have that mini resurrection. Now you have time more to spend with family. I've often said that the best retirements are when you are just as busy as you've always been, but now you have more control over your life and what you do. And the list can go on. What is the mini resurrection moment in your life? What has happened in your life in which you've gone from something that has been restrictive, difficult, or a struggle to something that has now given you more life, more freedom? It may not be restored completely, but you have now something that is far greater than what you had. You know, we celebrate today something that is life-changing, it's earth-shattering. It's that historical event of Christ being raised from the dead. And that resurrection victory is hard for us to grasp and understand in this world, in this life. And so what God gives us are little pictures, little peeks into what that means. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." He tells us that mystery. That on this earth, in our lifetime right now, we can't see the full glory of God. We can't see the full power and implication of that resurrection. But what He gives us are little glimpses, little mini resurrections. We see it in a reflection in a mirror, in a dimly lit room. We see it, but not clearly or completely. But that time will come in which we will see it face to face. And as we gather together, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we celebrate that event which is life-changing for us. It is life-giving to us. We can only look at where God touches our lives in little ways, in big ways, that makes changes. And that's just a glimpse. That's a small, tiny percentage of what's in store for us. It's the life that Christ gives to us here and now. A life that we don't have to wait until that time of death and resurrection, but it's a time in which we are given the light of Christ, the hope of Christ, the promise of Christ that changes our lives. That allows us to live our life with whatever struggle we may be going through, but live it with the power and the grace of God, because that tomb was empty. That Christ is risen. That Christ is now filling our lives with hope and promise. So we can gather together this day, this morning, and loudly proclaim, "Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Alleluia."